Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
You know, everybody that preaches, teaches, leads, speaks from a platform, parents' children, has stories. Everybody has stories. Some people think they only have one story. That's not true. In fact, you don't need one story. You need like dozens of stories. I tell all my coaching clients, you should have at least 100 stories. 100 stories that you can like whip out of your pocket. Like think of Elf. Remember that scene in Elf when Will Ferrell is the elf and he starts throwing snowballs and the kid's like making one and throwing one. And then he makes one and then he throws one. And then he makes one and then he throws one. And you look over at Elf and he's like a Gatling gun with both arms going because he's got a pile of snowballs 50 feet tall. The stories in your life, if you're a leader, a manager, a communicator, you should have that many stories in your life because every time the audience changes, the story changes. Not that the point changes, not that the teaching point changes, but that the story changes. And so I spend most of my time coaching people to tell better stories better. And today we have live in studio somebody, and we're going to do exactly that. You get to sit in on a coaching session as we work through what it means to use story power in your communication. Stay tuned. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast, and I have in studio a coaching client. We've been working together for a couple of months now, and she's also a networker, a speaker. She flies all over the country speaking at different conferences of various sizes, from dozens of people to thousands of people. But we've been working on some very specific stories to try to narrow down how can we tell a major point in a very short period of time, because sometimes when you're networking, you don't have 10 minutes to explain or get to the point. You got to do it quickly. So help me welcome in studio Miss Amy Varley. So great to have you here today, Amy. Thank you. Thanks for coming. So today what we're going to do is really simple. We're just going to do a coaching session, a very short one, because normally we spend a couple of hours together. Today we're going to spend about 20 minutes, 25 minutes together. And in this session, I'm just going to ask you to tell a two-minute story. I don't care when the story is from. I don't care if it's about you and your kid, about you and your husband, about you in high school, about you when you learned to ride a bicycle. It doesn't matter where it's from. But before you tell me the story, I'm going to ask you to tell me, what is your greatest call to action? What is it that you want people to do? Is it buy a book, sign up for a program, download a free form, come to a workshop or retreat that you're doing? What's the greatest call to action for you?
So I think my greatest call to action is connecting for a purpose. And yes, I want to help people learn how to connect because I think it's the most powerful thing that you can do.
And what's the easiest way for them to connect with you to do that?
I actually have a page, wellness, amy.wellnesswarrior.com.
Amy.wellnesswarrior.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. And don't you have a thing that they can download that like, was it networking like a boss or something like that, that they can download as well?
Mm-hmm. My ebook.
Your ebook. Ebook. Awesome. So when we're done with this, we're going to tell them how to get the ebook. But for right now, I'm going to say the call to action is going to be download the ebook to learn how to network like a boss. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll go with that. So let's set that aside for a minute. Completely forget about that. I want you to tell me what you feel is a completely irrelevant story. And I'm going to see if I can help you to massage that story a little bit and tie it to the call to action in a powerful way. You okay. Ready? All right. So I'm watching the timer. When you start talking, we'll start counting 2 minutes. And just whatever story you want to for 2 minutes.
Okay. So I was backing out of my driveway and having just a fabulous day. And smiling at my neighbors, just waving, thinking I was doing a great job. I had just learned to drive. And I was driving down the street. And then suddenly I get a call from my parents. And they were like, do you know you just hit the neighbor's car? And I couldn't believe it because we had a really long driveway and I was driving a really big van and I couldn't really see. So I thought the neighbor was just waving, telling me to have a great day. And lo and behold, I had hit their car. So that was a very interesting experience whenever I first learned to drive.
How long have you been driving at that time?
Not very long. A few months, I think.
Okay.
So
that was a 1 minute story.
Yes.
54 seconds. So I'm going to take that same story, just massage a little bit, put a call to action on it, and still try to make it fit within 2 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
I'm backing out of the driveway in this big van. This is like driving a school bus. And yes, we had a long driveway, but it's still, you know, the road is only so big. And as I back out into the street, I see the neighbors waving, and I'm thinking, they're so proud of me. I just got my license, and here I'm driving this big giant school bus through traffic, and I must be doing really well. And I was so proud of myself. And I got to the stop sign, and my phone was ringing. I was like, why is somebody calling me? I'm driving. They shouldn't be talking on the phone while I'm driving. But I picked up the phone, and Mom said, did you know you hit the neighbor's car? And I'm like, when? No, I didn't know I hit the neighbor's car. I thought they were just being nice. And it's amazing sometimes when you're not paying attention to the surroundings around you or the things that are going on, you get focused on one thing. You think, well, I'm driving this big van. I'm new at driving. I'm focused on what's in front of me, not necessarily what's behind me or what's around me. And sometimes when we're networking, we get the same way. We forget to pay attention to the complete surroundings. We forget that one person that maybe is off in the corner or behind us. And we don't think, maybe we should for a moment just do a 360. Just completely look around and see who's there. In all the years that I've been networking, I found there are a whole lot of tips and tricks, little highlighter moments that allow you to focus on somebody, or when you're traveling to pick up the phone and call just the people in the local area and see who can get together. Those kind of tips and tricks can make a difference in your business like you could never imagine. It's like doing a 360 before you back out of the driveway just to see what's close or what might be in the way. And if you'd like to get some of those tips and tricks, you can download my ebook that's called How to Network Like a Boss. And here's where you can find it.
I love it. That's awesome.
One of the things that I find fascinating is that we tend to overlook the stories that don't seem like a big deal. I mean, whether it's backing out of the driveway and not doing a complete 360 to look around and look for the hazards and look for the possible problems, or it's dealing with kids or dealing with the coffee barista at the local coffee shop. Every one of those are moments where we interact with other people, and those are audience-like moments because everybody in the audience has had a moment like that. They backed into something. I didn't know it until I went back to visit again. We had gone to see friends, and this has been probably 10 years ago. We had a big Ford excursion. Giant on 35s, lift kit, the whole... I mean, it was a school bus jacked up 5 feet too high. But you couldn't see behind it. And it had backup sensors, but they didn't work. And it didn't have a backup camera. And we went to visit some friends, had a nice conversation with them, backed out of their driveway. Kids are screaming in the back. We had an excursion for a reason. We had a whole house full. It was like a homeschool school bus. And as we're driving out of the driveway, I thought, seems like that guy's mailbox isn't as tall as everybody else's mailbox. I didn't think anything about it. Drove away. I get home and I realize there's like dust crumbs on the side of my bumper. And the next time I went back, the neighbor's mailbox was just a pile of rocks. Oh, apparently, when I backed out of the driveway, I didn't see it because I was taller than, and I knocked the whole thing over and didn't even realize that I'd done it. So, I feel you. I think we lived in Coppell for 3 weeks when my wife backed our Suburban into somebody's Lexus at the real estate office. Same reason. Couldn't see it behind us. Didn't have the right backup sensors. But we become oblivious to that. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making is that the stories that they seem to us to be mundane are the stories that include everybody because everybody has lived through that experience. Now the question is, how can we tie that into the call to action? How do we make that relevant? So tell me some of the stories you've been working on. I know we've been working on this for a minute now. So you've got a plethora of stories, and you used one recently in Orlando. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell me about that story. How did that work for you?
Yeah, we've worked on a lot. Yeah, a lot of good stories have come out. I know we have the Pink Panther story.
One of my favorites.
Yes. The Will You Marry Me story.
If you were guessing the Will You Marry Me story, how many women do you think have experienced that very same moment?
Probably a lot.
Everyone that has a little boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to
probably
tell us that story?
True. Sure.
Okay.
So I was really frustrated because my son was just climbing the walls that day. You know, he's four. So he was just testing my boundaries, doing every possible thing, and where I thought I was just going to pull my hair out. And then he walks in the room and he looks at me with the cutest little smirk on his face. And he's like, "Mommy." And he had a little, what do you call it? St. Patrick's Day ring on his finger. And he goes, "Mommy, will you marry me?" And it just melted my heart. So I forgot about all the frustration that was happening throughout the day and or throughout the night. And I just wanted to basically give him whatever he wanted. So, and I don't know if he knew that or didn't know that, but it was super cute.
So how do you relate that then to business?
So relating that to business is, you know, sometimes we can maybe get frustrated building our business and we think that things are not going right. And just when we're about to give up is when a breakthrough can happen. We can meet that one person who changes our whole business, or, you know, we can turn our whole day around by one person that we meet.
Or maybe you could be that person. Because yes. I think sometimes we encounter other humans that from a distance, you kind of get that vibe that things are not going well for them.
Yeah.
I remember in high school football, there was a coach who left our high school and went to coach for another high school. And the new coach that came in was kind of edgy. I mean, he was more of a Jimmy Johnson type than a Mike McCarthy type. I mean, he was just in your face on everything. And I remember when the coaches met each other on the field, this was back in the day when it wasn't just the team captains that went out for the flip, the coaches would go as well. And the new coach came walking back to the sideline. He said, "I don't know who that schlub is, but I refuse to lose a football game to a man with a chili stain on his shirt." Because apparently he ate a hot dog on his way to the school game, and he had a big old chili streak right down the front of his shirt. He said, "I refuse to lose to a man with a chili stain on his shirt." But I've thought back to that many times. We have this prejudging in us. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to racism or sexism, people call it prejudice, but we prejudge everybody. And sometimes we don't come at it like your son did and say, "How can I change the mood of this moment?" Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say that I didn't make mistakes, but to say, "How can I fix it? How can I be proactive in changing the energy, the environment?" And one of the things that I notice about you is every time you walk into the room, there's a smile. You're always looking for somebody to engage with. You're always looking for somebody to have a conversation with. How do you coach that in a 2-minute story? How do you teach somebody the value of walking into the room and changing that mood?
So I have a lot of different ways. In my book, I have over 8 chapters and how exactly to do that. I love like looking at other people's perspectives. So sometimes we may think that maybe we wouldn't talk to a certain person. But if you really pay attention, like I love to pray before I go into an event, like, "God, connect me with who I'm supposed to connect to. Give me favor with people." And it never fails. If you pay attention to that, God will highlight the person that you're supposed to meet. And if you don't ignore that little tug and you actually go to that person, it's amazing what can happen. And not just in business, but also personal life. You know, you never know what's going to happen, what kind of friendship's going to spring from that, or what kind of business deal can come from that too. So.
Yeah, if you were taking that same lesson and marrying that together with your proposal, mm-hmm. how would you say that?
Okay, let's see here. So, have you ever been frustrated in your business and just thought that maybe things were just not going right? Maybe you just wanted to give up. And just when you thought you wanted to give up, it reminds me of a moment with my son. Whenever he was just doing everything possible to tear the house apart. And, you know, I was really frustrated. And he gave me one of the biggest smiles of my life in the next 30 seconds. When he came in and said, "Mommy, will you marry me?" It just changed my whole perspective. And just one contact, one person, you're just one person away from changing your whole entire business and a whole entire day. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged because God has the next person for you.
Very good. What if we flip that and go the other way and say, in the moment of networking, maybe you see somebody else that's been the Tasmanian devil of the day And, you know, you can see by the stress on their face, the chili stain on their shirt, they're disheveled. I mean, I see people coming in a big conferences and they've got a bag under this arm and something over their shoulder and a handful of stuff. And they're trying to get to their table when and they just kind of fall apart when they get to their seat. And you're like, you okay? And they're like, no, I barely got in here. And you know in that moment that the wrong contact or no contact at all just allows them to seethe in that moment of disheveled emotion. And what they feel like is resembled by what they look like. But you have the chance to be the little boy in that story and walk up with a decent proposal and not an indecent proposal, but to, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you some water? Can I help with what you have? And it's amazing. Most people wouldn't see that as networking. Most people would see that as intrusion, or it's not my place. If I don't know them, why would I do that? And yet, I think if your son, because I've met this little guy, if he walked up to an absolute stranger and asked the same question, he would still probably be met with a very melted heart and a soft response. And they would be like, oh, how sweet. No, I'm not going to marry you, but thank you for asking. And yet, I think when we come into a network environment, when we come into a business environment, we often find people with the same kind of challenges. The day has not gone right. There's some little Tasmanian devil taking the world apart with a rubber hammer. And yet, sometimes it's just the willingness to have the conversation that changes everything.
Yeah.
And so when you can take a story like that, that is very human and everybody has experienced it, and then look at it, like you said, from both perspectives, you know, me as a person receiving the proposal or me as the person giving the proposal, if it's in the right place, in the right heart, in the right attitude, it can soften even the worst day. What is it? Love, what music soothes the savage beast. Is that what they say? Something soothes the savage beast. It's not a wet blanket. It's something. But the ability to step into that environment and kind of change the whole environment, it starts with intent. So how do you coach people on intent when it comes to just the communication that you have with an absolute stranger? How long does it take you to break the ice, to let them know what your intentions are, to figure out what their intentions are? Is that a 10-minute process, a 2-minute process? And how long does that usually take?
Yeah, so I actually also, inside of my book, I created a checklist that can help people be prepared like ahead of time so they go in with intention. Because if you are intentional, you are going to meet people and you really are going to get out of the networking event what you put into it. And so going in with the intention not to expect business, but to expect to create someone's day better, you're going to indirectly do business. So, you know, really easy. My favorite thing to break the ice is a compliment. Because, you know, everyone deserves compliments. Everyone loves compliments. And you can be really genuine in that. And if you can't find something to say, you can always compliment their outfit. You can, you know, compliment their hair. Whatever it is, it just breaks the ice and, like, brings the guard down. But it also builds up a person. It makes them feel really good about themselves as well. So it's kind of a double win there.
So how does that fit with, like, the 5 love languages?
Well, I guess if someone is wearing like a really great outfit and you know that's something that's important to them, like maybe a really bright outfit that stands out, you can talk to them in something that they would appreciate. Okay. You know, so maybe if they just, I don't know, have a suit and tie, you might not say you like their outfit. I'm not sure. Maybe just you're dressed really sharp. So something that would tie in with their personality or what you see on the outside usually is a great compliment for people.
So how do you draw the line between a compliment and flirting?
So maybe if it was a guy.
Usually the perception, right? It's in the receiver rather than the giver?
Yeah, so I think, you know, for a guy, a great thing would be like, my wife would really like your outfit, maybe something like that. So it's not perceived in a different way. I think woman to woman is very easy. Right. We love to compliment each other. We love outfits, shoes, all that kind of stuff. So it's very easy. I think man to man, you know, you can also compliment, but, you know, I think you're dressed. I don't know if you'd really say to a man, you think you're dressed really nice, but, you know, you seem like you're very well put together or something like that. So
if that quote unquote obvious thing that what I can visually see, if that's not available, where would you go next?
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with just saying, hey, you know, are you from around here? Like, you know, kind of forming people, asking them questions, you know, where are you from? What do you do? What do you like to do for fun? Are you married? Do you have kids? Like, those kind of questions are very disarming. You don't want to, like, come in, like, you know, quizzing people about everything
questions.
On their life.
Yeah, 20 not questions 20 for questions. You. Before you get your coffee, you have 20 questions.
Yeah, but just a genuine, like, hey, are you from around here? Like, I don't think that would offend anyone or, you know, make them feel like they're getting quizzed or anything like that. But just a natural conversation. And I think you kind of know when somebody's open to talking and when they're not. So, you know, I would never force it. If someone is just very shut down and they don't want to answer your questions, like, it's okay to just, you know, tell them to have a blessed day and go meet someone else that's maybe a little bit more friendly.
I just discovered recently there's a counter to the RBF. You know what I mean by the RBF, the resting face?
Oh, yes, yes.
I have an RTF.
Okay.
A resting thinking face, because I'm always thinking about something. My brain never stops. But I've walked into environments where people have seen me on the platform and they've seen me, you know, in front of a camera and they're like, he's just always so effervescent, if you will. But if I walk into a place and I'm thinking, everybody's like, what's wrong with him? Why is he not talking? And I've actually had times when supervisors, superiors have come to me and said, you're killing the energy in the room. You need to be yourself. And I'm like, I am being myself. I don't know how to be anybody else. But they're like, yeah, but we need the other you. And it's amazing to me how that energy is not just me in my chair or me and the two or three people immediately around me. It can impact an entire environment if you have a large personality. How many people have you worked with who come with that kind of energy impact, but they don't realize that the energy that they're bringing is either good or bad?
A lot, actually, because I think a lot of people look a little bit mean when they don't smile. So that's actually, it sounds so simple, but a huge key to networking is smiling. It's, yes, just like that. Being super inviting, because a smile says, I want to talk to you. A smile says, you can approach me. A smile says, I'm happy. So if you're sitting there with a frown on your face or, like, you know, I guess maybe thinking too hard or something, you could come across as like, oh, I can't approach him or he doesn't want to talk to me. And usually it's the furthest thing from the truth. Some of the people that have maybe the meanest resting faces are actually the most friendly, kind people to talk to. So, and it's just amazing how it can change a whole person's face when they smile.
Yeah. Well, and it does change the energy in the room.
Absolutely.
Which takes us back to our story. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost as if your son sensed that mom's a little frustrated with me. And yet his strategy was not just to walk up and say, stop being mad at me, mm-hmm. or to go hide until the mad goes away. But he broke the ice first with a smile, mm-hmm. or in your words, a smirk.
Yes.
And
a
then
smirky
he,
smile.
And then he began to move into that. Now that he's got you engaged, he moved in with a proposal that is irresistible. And I think that's a parallel from there through all networking, through all sales, through all relationships. If you want to build a relationship, even if you find the person is already in trouble, frustrated at their wit's end, opening that door with a smile, moving that into a proposal that they can't refuse, and then offering to do something that changes their outcome, that's exactly what networking, what selling, what relationship building is all about. And sounds like your son's already mastered that.
Yeah. I don't know who he learned it from.
Maybe his dad. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, obviously, he's already won your heart too, right?
Yes.
So I think one of the things that I want to point out for those of you watching is it's amazing that the little stories in our life, the moments, and, you know, like Amy said, we've worked on this story a little bit. We've kind of been in and around the story of the wedding proposal a couple of times. But the idea of looking at it from every different way, asking what are the parallels, who does it appeal to, how does it appeal to them, what are the nuances of the story, just the change of a smile versus a smirk or a smirking smile. We all know the difference between a smirk and a smile. If you don't marry those two together, then you have a different attitude as a reflection of what's happening in the story, which means the outcome is going to be completely different. So the challenge that I have for you is, A, don't abandon or ignore those little stories that seem like harmless, innocent moments that pass by. And B, don't allow the story, just as it happened, to be the only way that you see that story. Go back and revisit it from the multiple perspectives. Can you look at it as the person giving the proposal Can you look at it as the person who's frustrated? If you were on either one of those sides, how would you want that story to end? How would you want it to conclude? Now let's move it out of the mother-son arena and take it into the most powerful, most poignant, most fearful, maybe even, negotiating scene you've ever been in. Could you walk in with a smile and make a proposal? Hey, I propose we skip this meeting and I'll go have ice cream. I don't know, would that disarm people? Would that upset people? But being able to read the room and bring that, I mean, a four-year-old was able to read the room and go, yep, mom's a little tense and it's probably my fault. I should fix this. And just having enough awareness, emotional awareness of other people to say, there's got to be some way that I can break through these defenses. That's what I challenge you to do. Because just telling your story is self-promoting. I understand we have to do that if we're going to stay successful in business. But telling your story from multiple perspectives and including as many people as you can into that story, that's what's going to make an impact for you. That's what's going to grow your networking and grow your business opportunities. And that's what's going to change your life. But you can't just tell any old story. You've got to tell a better story. And you've got to tell it better. If you'd like some help with that, if you'd like to learn how to tell better stories better, you can go to storypowercoach.com. And that's where you'll find me. Now, if you'd like to download How to Network Like a Boss, where's the best place to get that?
Go ahead and send me a message through the amywellnesswarrior.com website, and I can get that to you. If you put in your email, I can email that over.
amy.wellnesswarrior.com. Just send a message over there. Tell her you'd like to learn how to network like a boss, and you can spend some more time with Amy, at least in the form of an ebook. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you. Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.